I am Dr. Aishwarya Rao, a pediatrician and public health consultant, here with yet another podcast on the unfolding coronavirus outbreak in India. Today, I want to discuss the response of different states and the challenges that they face, as well as some of the best practices employed by them. According to the World Health Organization, COVID-19 cases have been reported from 182 countries around the world, with 7 countries having more than 10,000 cases. Typically in these countries, it took 2 to 3 weeks to go from 100 positive cases to 10,000 cases. That's exponential growth. Nearly 1 billion people all over the world are confined to their homes, with more than 600 million of them due to government lockdown orders. In India, positive coronavirus cases have doubled in the past 3 days, and the tally now exceeds 315. We are now today showing the same rate of growth in infection that other countries showed in their early days, followed by exponential rise in infections within a matter of weeks. India is among the last countries to experience the outbreak, so we have a head start in preparing to meet the challenge. Our next couple of weeks will be the most crucial in breaking the cycle of transmission. So far, cases have been reported from 22 states and union territories, and as expected, every state has a different response to the COVID-19 outbreak, in keeping with the enormous diversity that is the very description of India. Some strategies have been admirable, while others have left a lot to be desired. This is no time to point fingers and start a blame game, but I mention it here only to understand the challenges so that we can push our policymakers to effect changes while we have the time. There is still time to act. Look at a state like Kerala that was the first to report the infection as early as 30th of January this year. They immediately took measures on a war foot quite extensively and proactively. At the same time, the Chief Minister of Telangana called the coronavirus outbreak as bad propaganda, and he even went as far as to call it bakwas. Other states too were not any better and were in denial during the initial weeks and sat up to take stock only when the positive cases started trickling in. The good news is that all states now have realized the gravity of the situation and have begun to rise to the occasion. All public health messages and campaigns so far have dwelt on individual responsibility, with stress placed on the importance of hand washing, physical distancing, and staying at home even though asymptomatic. These measures are no doubt crucial to break the chain of transmission. But the pillars on which the outbreak can be contained remains the good public health practices of surveillance, screening, testing, isolation, and contact tracing. We have to detect all the index cases and the cluster of cases that were infected from that one index case. Once someone is tested positive, depending on the symptoms, they must be hospitalized and treated. Detection and treatment is also part of containment. Kerala has some admirable best practices that must be a template for other states to follow. It started early testing of suspected cases, particularly of travelers from infected regions, isolating the infected, carefully tracing the contacts, shutting down mass gatherings, closing schools, shutting down the borders, and restricting traffic both internationally as well as with the neighboring states. Kerala went full throttle and left no stone unturned in its efforts when other states were beginning to notice the new infections. One of the reasons is because of its previous experience with the 2018 outbreak of the Nipah virus. This was an infection that spread from fruit bats into humans. Between 5th May and 10th June 2018, a matter of a mere 5 weeks, they went from the first index case to halting and containing the outbreak successfully, with only 19 cases reported totally. Not only that, the Institute of Advanced Virology was set up in Kottayam within weeks as a response to the outbreak in order to help with future similar outbreaks. So Kerala brings this experience, level of response and preparedness to the current COVID-19 outbreak. The advantages that Kerala had was that it already had a strong health system with very good public health networks and dedicated health professionals. This, augmented by a tested and tried emergency preparedness plan and decentralized governance, helped the administration to swiftly swing into action by coordinating multiple and interdepartmental efforts. They set up 24-hour control rooms at the state and the district level with single-window communication. They started 6 phone lines at the state call center and 4 fully operational state testing centers. They put into service well-coordinated HR management teams at the state and district levels with enough staff and volunteers for airport surveillance, manning call centers, and for transportation, isolation, and contact tracing. They created massive outreach campaigns and public awareness in multiple languages to get the message out. Who has not seen the video of the policemen dancing and scrubbing their hands to demonstrate how it's done? They did geo-mapping for contact tracing with time, place and date mapping. The public at risk or possible contacts responded with self-reporting. They had well-equipped and secure treatment facilities and dedicated and trained staff to administer care, support and treatment. The state began manufacturing hand sanitizers and their jail inmates began making masks to meet the growing needs. Anganwadi children who were sequestered at their homes were home-delivered their midday meals. Kerala thought of every possible activity to disrupt the infection and it made it happen. All this massive and concerted effort boils down to one thing, leadership. The Chief Minister Pinarayi Vijayan and the Health Minister K.K. Shailaja led from the front. Here is a textbook case study of leadership, coordination involving all stakeholders, civil society responsibility, aided by effective communication. Here is a combination of political goodwill, bureaucracy, technocracy, civil society and media who come together as if on cue to tackle an emergency situation together. The crisis is not yet over, but they know what they're doing. Contrast that with states like Uttar Pradesh, which has high vacancy rates for doctors in the public health system, where the primary healthcare system is not functional and there is high dependence on medical colleges and district hospitals for dealing with a situation like this. Somewhere in between the Kerala model and the UP scenario are the other states like Maharashtra, AP, Telangana and Tamil Nadu. They have functional PHCs, which are the basis for good healthcare. But the response on a war footing that is proactive and transparent has been missing so far. Though Tamil Nadu is sandwiched between two states, all having more than 15 positive cases, they have only reported 6 cases so far, sparking concerns of inadequate screening, surveillance and testing. It will augur well for every state in India to take a leaf out of Kerala's book to tackle the pandemic. We still have at least another 2 to 3 weeks before the exponential rise in cases is expected. We have to learn to use available resources holistically and methodically. Now that new testing guidelines have been issued by ICMR, allowing testing of asymptomatic high-risk contacts, all hospitalized persons with severe acute respiratory infection, and with the directive to rope in NABL-accredited private labs for the coronavirus testing, we should be detecting more index cases and their contacts. Almost all states have done the right thing by restricting mass gathering, closing schools and colleges and public places, restricting travel both internationally as well as between state boundaries. The only thing we are not hearing from the authorities in all states is their preparedness in treating persons sick with COVID-19. Nearly 20% of all infected will need hospitalization, and 10% of those will need ICU care. Is our healthcare infrastructure ready? The onus is clearly on government doctors and healthcare professionals to step up to the challenge of caring and treating in the tough days ahead. The private doctors and paramedics will also need to be pressed into service when the system is overwhelmed. As the government at the center and the state gear up for this huge crisis, we can pressurize and urge our respective state governments to work on increasing testing capacities and beds and ICU facilities for the sick. At the same time, we can all listen to the clarion call of physical distancing and stay at home and lessen their burden of work by taking precautions to avoid getting infected. Finally, in the words of Dr. Tedros Ghebreyesus, Director General WHO, who said that when humanity is confronted with a common enemy like this, it also gives us a chance to bring the best of us, a unique opportunity for solidarity in everything, a solidarity that is more infectious than the virus itself, so that we will be able to stop this virus. This is Dr. Aishwarya Rao signing off, and I will see you with the next episode of Coronavirus on the next podcast.